Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on March 3rd, 2011. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. And I want to repeat that. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. We'll be talking about that during our broadcast today. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call toll-free 888-773-4496. That's 888-773-4496. Our direct number is 646-652-4620. We welcome your comments anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, Sutton, SUTTON-associates.net. In his newsletters, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, today, that's more important than ever. And time is running out. One way, shape, or form, time is running out. Liberty Talk Radio is now available on iTunes for your listening convenience. Lastly, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. You know, this is almost now, we're going 4 months from now, it'll be 5 years that we've been broadcasting. And I'll bet we have more longevity than most of the internet radio programs, especially other than those that are connected with the networks on the internet. And I'm kind of proud of that. Never intended this to be any long-term project. My son is encouraged me to do this. He set up the station. He says, now you're on the air. Quite frankly, I couldn't believe it, but I did it, and I just kept on going. So it's really a pleasure to be here. I now find it very necessary for me to have this radio station and for me to broadcast and interview people, because it sort of puts a little bit more sanity in my world. I don't like what I hear. I do not understand what I hear. Most things are illogical. It seems like the whole world is going bonkers. Nothing is real. Nothing is right. And folks, I mean nothing. Anything that we do today, and I don't mean individuals that do things, I mean with government intervention, it seems that it's just not the right thing to do. It's either a patchwork or we're going absolutely in the wrong direction, and especially we're doing something that's totally unconstitutional. It is driving me nuts. So at least this is my venue, and I feel energized when I come here on Thursday morning or have a guest on Wednesday evening and discuss these issues. Today, I'd like to weigh in on the teacher's strike in Wisconsin and wherever. And I like to take a totally different approach. I think most media, except for the initiated, those people who know what they're talking about, I guess, and I want to put myself in that category, by the way, I think that the media and what we see in the mass media is missing the point altogether. You know, they are talking about whether or not bargaining rights should be allowed, not being allowed, whether or not the teachers have a right, and whether, oh, you know, all this stupid, stupid stuff. You know, it seems that when we have a problem, if we can put the problem on the top of the list, and then we try to find out what is the root cause of the problem, we never go to the root cause. Never. Let me say this one more time. Never go to the root cause. What we do is we take something in between. We start talking about, well, they have a right to bargain, blah, 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 you know, and it's just noise. And then it's this person versus that person. Let's get to the core issues. No one wants to talk to the core issues, because once you do that, Once you do that, you start violating people's belief systems on how things work. And this is what's driving me about nuts at this point. It seems that we should get to the root cause and say, what is the root cause? Let's take the situation in Afghanistan. If you have read the book, and I read an abbreviated book, by the way, The Art of War. Going to Afghanistan, now this thing was written 4,000 years ago and is studied by every person who goes to Annapolis and all the military schools and whatever. Every military studies this book. We violated every single tenet of that book. You know, stretching your supply lines, not knowing if you can win, identifying your enemy. They go through the whole thing. It makes so much sense. And what we did is we took the book, we study it, we throw it away, and we go there because we have ulterior motives. No one wants to discuss that. No one wants to discuss the reason why we're there. They'd want to discuss the bad guys because they hate us. We're there because better fighting there than fighting here. All that stupid garbage. And our minds are that way. And unfortunately, the teacher strike is no different, believe it or not. Now, during this broadcast, I may be insulting some teachers. I don't intend to. Let me say at the outset that I firmly believe that most teachers, not all, because there are a lot of schlocks out there, but most teachers are very dedicated, work very hard, put their own time, energy, and even money into the classroom, especially with today's austerity programs on the school system. And they do a marvelous job, and they truly, truly care for their children. I know that. I have teachers in my family. I am not questioning that at all. It has nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, I have found, with all that dedication, there's a dark side, in that most of them become teachers because they're like mothers to these children. You know, they're not educated people. I know they have master's degrees. Most of them have master's. Some have PhDs, but they're not educated people. They don't know how to think. They're not critical thinkers, you know. All they want to do is do well for the students. And I applaud that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing them. However, they are not the people that you want to have a heavy conversation with. That has been my experience. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't think I'm wrong. My experience is just too broad and too long. That teachers generally don't want to confront any problem whatsoever. They just want to teach, or they want to do their children, or they want to go home. Some of them are just, you know, they do their 6 hours or whatever, they want to go home. But we're going to talk about all of that today, all right? But let's start from the very, very beginning, all right? So I'm not criticizing teachers. I'm just, their dedication, their hard work, and their loyalty, I'm not questioning that. I'm questioning their ability to think, and this situation in Wisconsin exemplifies exactly what I'm saying, all right? Let's start from the beginning. Teachers belong to a union. Oh, by the way, before I'm going to even say that, you want to say, who's right, Joe? Is the state right or the teachers right? Here's my answer. Are you ready? They're both wrong. They're both absolutely wrong. And I'm going to go through all of that. If I don't, someone call in and remind me I didn't hit both sides. Okay? But let's start with the unions. Why were unions necessary in the first place? And who were the unions for? Well, the unions were designed for people who had no alternative. People who came here, didn't speak the language to the United States, didn't speak the language, didn't have any particular skills. If they didn't work, they starved. They went hungry, or their families went hungry. There was a factory. They needed work desperately. They got to work at a factory. These people were generally, not all, generally, uneducated, uninitiated, unexperienced, unconnected, undereducated. You see what I mean? These people were the unclass, the UN, the unclass. These people didn't have a choice. They had no choice. If they had a choice, you think many of these immigrants, and even people here who were born in the United States, do you think that they would have elected to work in a steel mill or a mine or on the railroads? I mean, no one in their right minds would do that. Why would they do that? Because they had no option. Folks, Understand this. They had no option. It was either work in the steel mill for 12 to 14 hours a day under intolerable conditions or go hungry. Now, let me back up further. There has never been a union that has not been invited by management to come in and unionize that company. I know it sounds crazy. Let me repeat. There has never been a union that has not come in, a company that has not been invited by management. And when I say that, I mean this. When a company treats its employees to a point where they push them to the point where they cannot take it anymore, they organize and they take anything they can get, even a union that they know these people are politically connected, they're crooked, and it's going to cost them money, they join the union. Because management treats them so poorly, absolutely so poorly, so horribly, that they leaves them absolutely no choice. If management would only have done one thing, treated everyone equally. Yes, folks, everyone is equal. You and I are equal. We only have different jobs. I'm on the radio program. I may be broadcasting. You may be listening. Does it make me better or worse than you? We are all equal. If the management would have relayed that sense to the employees and treated everyone equally, whether you're the vice president or the guy shoveling the coal into the hearth, makes no difference. They had different jobs, but they were treated with the same amount of respect and dignity. We would never, ever, ever, ever have a union anywhere in the United States. So understand this. Unions did not walk into companies. Did not force themselves into companies. No union has ever done that. Every union has been begged, invited, and not only invited, but begged by management to come in and unionize the plant. They say, we can't treat these people worse enough. You know, we'll keep our we'll treat them so well, we'll give you no choice but to come in. Understand that. Now, I know people are going to say, oh, yeah, I know places that they have to be unionized. Well, I'm talking about initially. I'm not talking about now where there's maybe state laws or there's city ordinance, whatever the case, or there's an industry where you can't get in the industry unless you belong to the union. That's all after the fact. Forget after the fact. Let's get back to the core issue. Let's get back to where we were. So unions were for people who were so incredibly desperate for a job, they had no alternative. They had no place to go. It was either work on the railroad. And these people died, folks. I mean, the railroad is known as the Trail of Bones or the Road of Bones or something like that. This means that people died on the railroad. You know, the woman at home would say, where's my Johnny? They go, we haven't seen him. They knew where he was. He was underneath the railroad ties. They buried him. He died. No one cared. And everyone knew no one cared. And people got nothing. They worked 7 days a week sometimes. They worked 12, 14 hours a day under horrid conditions. They were underfed and treated with the utmost of disrespect. Would I join a union? Hell yes, I would. I would form a union under those circumstances. So understand that management is wrong, has always been wrong when it comes to unions. And unions were right because management was so poor. Now, I'm talking about initially, all right? Not today where it's forced on you because the industry says you have to belong to a union for some reason and you lose all your rights. That's a different story. All right, so we have the situation. These are the type of people who join unions. Teachers. Are teachers the undereducated or uneducated? No. What kind of education do they have? Well, they have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. I don't know what percent, but a large portion have master's degrees. I don't have a master's degree. And above that, many have PhDs. They're doctors. These people are not disconnected or unconnected with the rest of the world or with the educated or the people who have money or influential people. These people are not the uninitiated. These people are not the underclass. These people are not the unconnected. Now, understand this, folks. Understand this. They did not go into teaching because they had no choice. That if they did not teach, they would go hungry. They elected to go into teaching when they had about any and every single curriculum available to them in school. Any career that they wanted was open to them. Because if they were able to get a bachelor's degree, it doesn't cost much. It doesn't cost any less to get a bachelor's degree than to get a degree in chemistry, or to get a degree in neuroscience, or anthropology, or anything. You see, it costs the same amount of money. Now, so these people who are not the disconnected, the unconnected, the uneducated, these people join unions. But wait a minute. You join unions because you have no choice. What is joining? Well, you join unions for another reason. Oh, by the way, and the classroom is not working on the railroad and not working in the coal mines. You know, a classroom, remember, if you're in a classroom and the classroom conditions are horrid, they're horrid for the students also. And the parents, if this was a free society, which it's not, the parents would say, my kids are not going to school because your classrooms suck. Think about it. If you visit, they have parents, teachers times, you know, two, three times a year. You go there, you go, this is where I bring my kids. Forget about it. He's out of the school. I know you can say, well, the state requires. Forget about the state for a minute. We're going to talk about the state in a minute. So you don't have the same prerequisites for unionization as you did as it was originally intended. Understand that. So have you have PhDs online and they're picketing. Now, here's the kicker. The Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs wrote an article, and they took this survey of a study where they indexed different types of jobs. Now, this is important. Different types of jobs. Degrees in college. And they ranked them by degree of difficultiness. Now, I don't remember exactly where everyone was placed, but on the top were things like, you know, neuroscience and stuff like that. And, you know, all the sciences were up there, all the heavy duty stuff, you know, in the middle, sort of the top middle, you know, there was a CPA, attorneys. And so, you know, you go down the list, and on the bottom, the very, very bottom, they had about 25 listed. That's all. And general categories. And on the bottom, the very, very bottom was phys ed. Well, we know that. Everyone would have guessed that because the football players, you know, who can hardly speak, and I'm not sure if they can write, you know, they take phys ed as a default so they can stay in college, and they don't do well either. A lot of them fail out. They need help, you know. They take phys ed, you know, so they can play football and become, hopefully go to the NFL and blah, blah, blah. And the same thing with basketball and all that stupid stuff, right? Now, where do you think on this whole spectrum, where do you think the teachers fail? Think about that for a second, and we'll stop for station identification.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective, not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We're talking about the teacher's strike. The title of our program tonight is Teacher's Strike Back, and we're talking about the logic behind all that and who's right and who's wrong. Please call in. Our toll-free number is 888-773-4496. I'll repeat that, 888-773-4496. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. Either one of those numbers, one's direct, one's toll-free. Please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective, not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Okay, folks, we're back. Now, I hope you're pondering on that question of which one, on the answer to that question is, where did the teachers fall? Were they up in the upper crust there under medical, you know, a doctor, a surgeon, CPA, all those, you know, or were they closer to the bottom where the phys ed teacher was? Well, let me give you the answer. It's going to surprise you. They were one notch above phys ed. So what this article was saying is that when people get degrees or they have jobs that require certain degrees, the amount being paid should be indexed. I mean, you don't have to index, but should be indexed according to the degree of difficultiness. Now, we all know that a brain surgeon makes a lot of money on a brain surgery. He doesn't do it for, you know, $1.96. You know, it may be $40,000, you know, for a few hours worth of brain surgery. I have no idea what it is, but $20,000, whatever it is, you know. And he's worth it. I mean, he's saving someone's life. It takes a tremendous amount of knowledge. He has to go to med, then he's got to go to, college, med school. Then he's got to do internship that kills most people. You know, then he's got to assist in operations. I mean, he goes through living hell before he even touches anybody. It's tough. My son, for example, my younger son, he went to Tulsa University and decided to get a degree in chemical engineering. And I asked him, I said, what are you taking chemical? I never mentioned engineering, never. He said, because it's the very toughest curriculum in the school. So I said, why are you taking it? I mean, he's a smart kid. Why are you taking it? He said, because it'll pay me the most money. I disagree with him. I said, you shouldn't be doing it. You should be doing something that you love, something that you really want to do. He says, I want to make money. And if I want to guarantee to make money, I got to get the toughest degree. And he went to TU and he graduated with very good marks in chemical engineering. Now, the unfortunate part is he never enjoyed the jobs that he had in chemical engineering, and he's still not enjoying it that much. But he's doing very well. And now he makes $100,000+ a year, and he doesn't have a very, very difficult job. But chemical engineering was way at the top, and he knew that. Now, he didn't see the survey, but he knew that. Now, he would get paid more than someone at the bottom, the person taking phys ed. Now, if you agree with that, you also have to agree that these people get paid more than the people who are teachers. So my point is this, is that teachers are not underpaid. They say, well, we have a college education. We have master's degrees. We have PhDs. And look at these people getting paid $75,000 a year. We're getting paid only $60,000 a year. No. You've got to take the degree of difficulty in it. Now, that was only one factor. There were several other factors involved. You know, first of all, the hours being worked. Now, you hear a lot of teachers saying, oh, I work a lot of hours. I work more hours than they require. Yeah, well, every professional does. I don't know if one professional person who says, I work a 40-hour week, and that's it. No, I know a lot of people who continually work 60, 70 hours a week. Everybody. And everybody seems to do that. My wife's an audiologist. Not easy. I mean, she's always working. She leaves early in the morning. I mean, if she gets home 6:30 at night, lucky. She has to see patients. Very difficult job. Very, very tough job. I couldn't do it. Right? And she does okay for herself. I mean, she doesn't kill herself and she doesn't, you know, do a lot of money. You know, she has a small practice and she likes it and that's the way it is. People love her. She does a wonderful job. Wonderful. One with the cosmos. So when the teachers say that they're underpaid, I go, no, you're overpaid. Remember, you get to 2-3 months out of the year, you get off. You know, you get off at 3:00. I know you got a great papers. I'm sorry, you got a great papers. But wait a minute, we all great papers, no matter what job we have. Every job we have, every professional job we have, we take stuff home, we have to read it. You know, we have to review it. We have to prepare for a presentation. You know, we all do that. So that doesn't count. See, the fact is that if you index the teacher's job to all the other professional job, the teacher's job is one of, if not, other than physical ed, the easiest job in the world. Now, working with children is very difficult. Not disagreeing with that, you know. But so is every other job difficult. Cold calling, seeing clients, traveling, you know, being away from home, long hours. No, it's tough. It's very, very tough. I started an industrial health testing company. I mean, I would categorize as hell. That is hell. I mean, the teacher's job has got to be a piece of cake compared to what I've been through. I can guarantee you that. And by the way, it never paid off that much, unfortunately. But you see what I'm coming at, is that teachers should not belong to unions. Unions were for people who had no choice. Teachers made that choice. Now, this is where the non-thinking comes in. When teachers, when students decide to become a teacher, they know that their salary is going to be dictated by some sort of city council, and that will depend on the amount of tax revenue brought in for that year. Think about that. I mean, they know this. Would I want a job that pays according to what the city council wants to pay me? Hell no, I wouldn't want to do that. But teachers don't think. They don't say, that's unacceptable. If I'm going to get a PhD or a master's degree or undergraduate degree, I want to get a job where I can make some good money. I can get rewarded for my work. Not good money. I want to be rewarded for my work and not have some city council tell me how much I'm going to work. But they don't think that way. They go, oh, I know that, but I just want to teach because I love children. You know, then they get into it and they become union maniacs. Teachers are wrong. They're all wrong. Not one of them should be protesting or marching because they have options. And they could say, if that's the pay, sorry, don't want to go there. I'm going someplace else. Now, I got a member of my family, for example. Lovely gal. She goes for pre-med, can't hack it. Can't hack it, first half of first semester, drops out, right? She goes into teaching. Ta-da! Well, actually to childcare, sociology crap, you know? You know, she can't find a job. She gets a job, she's treated horribly, she hates it, you know? You know, it's a nondescript job. I mean, it was a babysitting job. Basically, if you cut it down, her degree was in babysitting. She's a professional babysitter. I mean, really, that's if you break it down, that's what it was. You know, well, now she can't find a job anywhere. So now she's going back. She's going to get a master's degree because she wants to teach. Well, you ask her any of these questions. She's not taking consideration. Because she just, I don't know what I want to do, so I'll teach. Oh, I like kids. I teach. Well, these are the people that are marching. Most teachers are that way. Now, would she be a dedicated teacher and a good one? No doubt that she would. No doubt. She would put in a lot of time and energy and care into all students. That's not my point. My point is that they had a choice. And having a choice, unlike the coal miner or the people working on the railroad, they had a choice. They said, this sucks. I ain't doing it. No way am I going to be dictated by a city council or a state legislator or whomever as to how much I get paid. I know how much I'm worth. I'm worth a hell of a lot more than that. I'm going someplace else. Hold on to that thought for a second. And for station identification once again.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, I wish someone would call in toll-free, 888-773-4496. I am going hoarse. 888-773-4496. You can call direct from your cell phone if you'd like, 646-652-4620. Makes no difference which number you call. Of course, your comments are always welcome to comments at LibertyTalkRadio.com. We are talking about the teacher strike. Now, that's one half of the equation. And so I object. I object to any professional belonging to any union whatsoever. Because all they're doing it for is to maximize their income. It's not to improve working conditions. That's all garbage. I mean, they can do that themselves. And if the working conditions are bad, they know it before they go in. They shouldn't become that. I mean, they're not being forced into this thing. You know, I object to this. Well, we should have freedom of association. If we want to unionize, we unionize. Sure, I agree. I absolutely agree with freedom of association. absolutely, absolutely agree. But you shouldn't be forced. If you're in a union, you have to belong to a union. You know, if I had a PhD and someone joined a union, I go, up your nose. Get out of here. I'm a professional. I'm not going to join a union. And yet, they're striking and picketing online like the steel workers. They should be ashamed of themselves. They should be embarrassed to be there. Now, if they want to get together and say, hey, you know, us as teachers, we're doing pretty poorly. Let's get together and go to the city council and say, we demand more money, and here's the reason why. Fine, go. I mean, it's free. I mean, and then they talk about freedom. You know, we have freedom. It's about freedom. No. It's not about freedom. Don't give me that crap, because if it's freedom, you don't have the freedom not to belong to the union. In other words, you come into the union, you give up all your freedom, and now that's freedom. This is what I mean. They make no sense whatsoever. Absolutely no sense. Now, I just want to take the state side just for a moment. On the state side, is the state right? No, the state is absolutely wrong. And why? For one very simple reason. One simple core reason. The state should have nothing to do with education. The state should not be dictating the education, should not be providing the education. That is the responsibility of the parents. Oh, what about the parents that won't do anything? Well, guess what, folks? I know about the parents who won't do anything and the kids would be stupid. Not stupid, but uneducated. Not stupid, uneducated. But guess what? With the trillions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars a year we spend our schools, maybe it's trillions of dollars we spend on our schools every year, guess what? We have 50% of the kids who are uneducated. 50% who are uneducated. I'd say that if the parents were responsible, we'd have a better outcome. That's my guess. The state should not be involved. So we have the state involved in something that they're not supposed to be involved in. We have the unions joining something that they have no right to belong to. It's illogical. Now they're coming together. Now, why do they want a union? Well, unions are great because unions are political. Now, I'm going to read you a couple of notes that I have here. One is from, this one is from, oh, geez, come on, guys. Walter Williams. He's great. Yeah, I want to read a couple of lines from this. I usually don't read, but, you know. He said, you know, they don't pick up the tab. He says it's unorganized taxpayers who face the higher taxes. In other words, they're looking for more money, but who's giving up the money? Well, it's us giving up the money. And who are we giving it to? Primarily, it's going to the unions as well. He says, an employee with 20 years service can retire at age 50 and receive 60% of his or her salary. Employees often boast their retirement income by retirement income by putting in a lot of overtime hours during the last 3 years. They have this method where they take the highest 3 years in the past 10 years or something like that. I mean, they have all these things. They're not all the same. Here's another one. Employee, this is from Temple University professor William Dunkelberg, said in a CNBC article, should unions have the power to tax? The employers, taxpayers through their elected officials, okay, have slowly lost their ability to determine the terms of employment offers. The unions now determine working hours, hiring criteria, the quality of output to be produced per day, the number of sick and vacation and holidays, how their performance will be evaluated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No longer can the employer make an offer for a job with requirements that fit the needs of the public institution. Folks, we have a situation that is just like the situation with our foreign policy. It's just out of whack. Williams goes on to say, according to the Department of Labor, most unions, represent a powerful political force in elections. If they're a candidate for governor, mayor, city councilman, you could surely want the votes and campaign contributions from public employee unions. That includes teachers. In my view, that's no problem. The problem arises after you win office, sit down to bargain over the pay and working conditions with unions who voted for you. Public employee wages and benefits often average 45% higher than their counterparts in the private sector. Often they receive pension and health benefits, making little or no contribution. In other words, what this is addressing is not only teachers, but why do the teachers need a union? Think about this. When I started this conversation, the teachers needed a union. The people, the general worker, needed a union because situations got so horrible, so absolutely horrible, that it was a life and death situation. And if they didn't have a union, more people would die and suffer and go hungry. Now, is this a situation with teachers? No. And who is the employer? The state? Well, is the state mistreating the teachers? No. Are they abusing the teachers? No. The state's supposed to be there to provide the education for the students, right? So why would they be abusing the education system? You see, it makes no sense. The state should not be involved in education, and there's no reason for teachers to join a union against the state when the state is supposedly on their side. I'm going nuts. I can't handle this. Let's stop for station identification.
Perspective, not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. We wish someone would call in. We have a toll-free number, 888-773-4496, 888-773-4496. You know, we're weighing in on the teacher strike situation. We'd love to hear your comments, especially your criticism. So let's hear from you, please. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you're listening on a rebroadcast, I'd love to hear your comments, you know, and we respond to every one of our emails.
Political talk derived from a historical perspective. Not always palatable, but good food for thought. Pure Libertarian Talk with host Joe Cristiano. LibertyTalkRadio.com.
Okay, one person who's one of the country's best, I mean, most effective freedom fighters. I mean, this guy has been through the ringer. I would never do what this guy does. He's a million times braver than I am, and he's brilliant. He puts out, he's the director of the Citizens in Charge, and he publishes Common Sense, and his name is Paul Jacob. He's a friend of mine. He's on the East Coast, and he wrote an article about the teacher strikes, and he says, contracts with public employees are completely out of whack because compensation is negotiated outside market competition and by politicians more afraid of the political clout of the powerful unions than their principals. That's the taxpayers, the principals of the taxpayers, whose money they're spending. Think about that. So wage rates are especially promises of future medical and pension benefits are sky high and open to abuse. Folks, I don't know what else has to be said about this. When you look at the core problems, the core issues, and not everything in between, all the garbage, and they said this, we said that, Republican, Democrat, forget about that. Money's here, money's there. When you look at it, teachers don't think. They didn't think when they took the job, and when they have the job, they continue not to think. Because if they did, they'd say, you know, there's a lot of work. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not getting paid enough. I'm out of here. And if that was the case, we'd have a shortage of teachers. And if that was the free marketplace, the salaries would go up. If the salaries went up, of course, then it would attract more and better teachers. It'd be very simple. You know, why is everyone so down on the free marketplace? It's like, oh, it's a free marketplace. Oh, if you had that, you have chaos. No one would get paid. I mean, it's the only thing that works. It's absolutely the only thing that works. And here we are talking about, and the teachers carrying sign about freedom, the audacity, the stupidity. Here we got teachers with master's degrees carrying signs about freedom. They're so stupid, they don't realize what they're doing is the antithesis of freedom. This is what I mean. They have no thought. And when you hear them saying, we believe in that, it's all garbage. Every one of it is garbage. It is very, very difficult. Very difficult for me to give any respect to those teachers for what they're doing. I wish they would at least one thing, I wish they would be honest. And they're not being honest. Because if they're honest, they say, you know, if I had a job in industry, I'd be working in June, July, and August. I have off those 3 months. You know, if that alone, could you imagine coal miners saying, oh, yeah, Bob, yeah, go ahead. Take 3 months off with pay. I mean, it's unheard of. I mean, it's ridiculous even to say that. But they get that, and they get benefits up the gazoo. They get benefits that people in private industry, you know, would love to have and will never get. Now, where are we going with this? We're going down the tubes. This will not get resolved. Wisconsin won't resolve it. Indiana won't resolve it. California won't resolve it. None of them will. What we will see is we'll see more people take to the streets because, well, although they say, oh, the economy's getting better, the economy's not getting any better. People are getting poorer and poorer and poorer. And as people get poorer and poorer, there's going to be less and less tax revenue, which means teachers and all public employees are going to feel the squeeze because there's going to be no tax revenue. And then they all going to take the streets. Now, when they take to the streets, those people who don't have jobs, of which who are underemployed and unemployed, which amount now, according to shadow government statistics, is about 22%, they're going to take the streets because now they're angry not only at the government, you know, at the state and whatever, the city government, whatever it is, they're going to be angry at those people who are striking but have jobs that are paying twice as much as they're working. And you're going to have this bifurcation of America. It's going to get ugly. And, you know, I don't blame anybody for being angry. We should all be angry. The problem is we're not angry. And we don't get angry at the right time. We get angry after we don't get paid. We should get angry at the situation because we should look at the core problem and say, this is not right. And we should make it right before we get to the streets. But it's going to take, everyone's going to take the street. Just like Gerald Celente said, when people lose everything and they have nothing else to lose, they lose it. And we have one caller with about a minute left to go. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe. It's Adam in Atlanta.
Adam, okay.
You
have about 45 seconds. Thank you for calling.
Oh, about 5 seconds. I'll just quickly, if I may, direct listeners to an article that appeared on LouRockwell.com recently by libertarian Walter Block entitled Public Sector Unions in Wisconsin, and where he says that choosing among the two factions is like choosing between Stalin and Hitler.
I couldn't agree more at this case. I mean, this thing is driving me nuts, you know, Adam. I mean, it's just no one wants to address the issue. They just want to address the noise, you know. So I certainly appreciate your calling in. Let's see, how much time do we have? We have about a minute and a half. I can give you another minute's time. How about that? No, in fact, I'm sorry. I can give you about another 30 seconds. I'm sorry. Go for it.
Okay, the only other thing from that article, which was very entertaining, was that one of the readers who wrote to Mr. Block to express that since, you know, government school education is so dismal and may actually be considered harmful to young developing minds.
Absolutely.
The reader wrote to Mr. Block and said, the longer the squabble goes on, the fewer days in school for the children, and this has to be a plus.
Absolutely, I agree. And I didn't bring that up, but I wanted to, and I'm glad you brought it up. You reminded me. I never bring everything up. I always regret the things that I forget to say. But right, if you look at the end result, you know, 51% of the kids drop out of high school, and those that don't drop out of high school are absolutely miserable and don't learn to think critically. Adam, I have to go now. Thank you so much for calling in. Have yourself a great day, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. You do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, I guess this is the end of the broadcast for today. We covered a lot of ground. Wow, this is kind of loud. Let me have a little softer. There we go. Okay. Wow, mom's horse. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. Ranch Acres Audiology is a family hearing practice at 3227 East 31st Street in Tulsa. They may be reached at 918-749-7711. That's 749-7711. Call them for all your hearing needs. You'll be glad that you did. Folks, you can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.